Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. The U.S. News & World Report recently commented editorially on a plea by Dr. Billy Graham made over a year ago to identify those who are teaching and advocating violence, training in guerrilla tactics, and defying authority. Graham's plea, carried in the Washington Star, reproduced in the Congressional Record, was for the President and for the Congress to identify those extremist leaders promoting violence, and then to do something about it. Said Graham, Congress has no more urgent business than to pass laws with teeth in them. When Detroit, the only councilman there, described the recent outbreak of violence in these words, noted the Reverend Nicholas Hood, "It's not a matter of civil rights, it's just lawlessness. Out and out lawlessness." Well, more and more Americans are becoming concerned, even alarmed, at what appears to be increased terroristic activities being carried on in the name of civil rights by those who are either communists or are sympathetic to communism. Among these were leaders of the Black Power movement who met in Newark, New Jersey, and branded Christianity as a white man's religion. Well, this was a slanderous attack denied by millions of Christians who know the gospel of Jesus Christ has no racial lines or land boundaries. Stokely Carmichael in Cuba, believed to have been referring to the colonization of Africa, declared in a news conference there, "When missionaries came, they came with Bibles and we had the land," said Carmichael. "After they were here for a while, they had the land and we had the Bibles." Well, there's little truth in that statement. For wherever the true gospel of Jesus Christ has gone, it has led to the improvement of the culture and behavior of the people, as well as leading to their conversion. Well, today we continue our series, Prophecies Concerning Jerusalem. Well, hardly a subject is more timely or more thrilling than news coming from Israel, God's prophetic timepiece. With the capture of Old Jerusalem by the Israelis, there's talk of the coming of Messiah. Perhaps the vast majority of Jews who have returned to Palestine are little concerned about the Messianic reign, but among the ultra-Orthodox, there is great anticipation. As Christianity Today reports, all over the country they are tense with excitement following Israel's victories. In fact, the Jerusalem Post thinks it may have already figured out who the Messiah is going to be, Uriel ben David, who is the stepson of Amram Blau, fiery leader of an extremist sect. Uriel ben David is a recent convert to Judaism. His mother was a Romanist before her marriage to Blau. And so this newspaper speculates that Ben David is a likely candidate because his surname recalls the name Messiah, Son of David. In this article, it was also pointed out that on her conversion, his mother took the name of Ruth, the number one convert of biblical history through whom King David descended. Well, friends, we're reminded of Jesus who went on earth, warned his own flesh and blood, saying, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another come in his own name, him ye will receive." We all know how Christ was rejected as Israel's Messiah. As John declares, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. And though our Lord fulfilled the messianic prophecies that he would be born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, his lineage could be traced back to Adam, yet he was rejected as Messiah, for Israel was expecting a king, not looking for a redeemer. Well, actually, Jesus Christ alone can lay claim to being Israel's true Messiah, Son of David, of the tribe of Judah and the seed of Abraham. Since the dispersion of A.D. 70, all records have been lost, so that no Jew could ever trace his lineage so as to lay claim to being Israel's true Messiah. So our Lord warns of deceivers who should arise claiming to be Messiah. "For many shall come saying, 'I am Christ,' said Jesus, and shall deceive many." Throughout history, there have been many false Christs and false messiahs, imposters. However, the greatest imposter of all will be one whom the scripture refers to as the Antichrist, who will appear at the end of this age as Israel's false messiah. When a London newspaper, there was an article some time ago which read, "Wanted, a man of goodwill. Only he could bring Jew and Arab together." My friends, upon the world stage, there will eventually appear such a man. We refer to him as the Antichrist. Bishop Fulton Sheen once wrote, "The Antichrist will not be so called, otherwise he would have no followers. He will come disguised as the great humanitarian. He will talk peace, prosperity, and plenty. He will even speak of Christ and say that he was the greatest man who ever lived." And so Antichrist is not some beastly fellow. As Bishop Sheen goes on to say, he will wear no red tights, nor vomit sulfur, nor carry a trident, nor wave a narrow tail. And yet if we understand the scriptures correctly, Antichrist will be the very embodiment of Satan, the man of sin, the son of perdition. Antichrist arises as an impostor posing as the very Christ, but who is in reality a false deceiver. As Dr. M. R. Dehan pointed out so vividly in one of his books, Antichrist will attempt to simulate the true Christ in every detail, yet he will be the incarnation of the devil. Well, Dr. R. E. Niebuhr Sr. wrote back in 1914, "The Antichrist is to sum up all that men adore. He will not only head nations, but he will head divine worship. He will federate the state and the church. He will unite politics and religions." Then he points out he will make league with the Jew. The question might be raised, will he also be a Jew? Would Jews accept as their Messiah anyone other than a Jew? Well, that's a good question which provokes comment from both sides. However, the late Joseph Hoffman Cohen asserts there is not a syllable in the Word of God that could justify the speculation that the Antichrist will be a Jew. Rather, much to the contrary, he will be a Gentile, asserts Dr. Cohen, who goes into detail giving reasons showing how even his own people will be deceived, believing false claims and false promises, rather than to accept the truth as revealed in Jesus Christ. However, concerning the appearance of Antichrist, we are told that when he appears, he will restore a semblance of peace and make Jerusalem the seat of his authority. When a radio message given on a network of stations on the Message to Israel broadcast some time ago, the speaker had this to say concerning the coming Antichrist, and we quote, "He will make a covenant with Israel that will cause the chosen people of God to believe at last that their Messiah has come. This false counterfeit Messiah will bring about a semblance of peace between Israel and the surrounding Arab nations. He will have such a magnetic personality coupled with supernatural power and energized by Satan that he will be able to bring about universal peace among the nations of the world. There will be prosperity along with this false peace." Now, of course, this declaration is based on a host of scriptures to be found in the book of Daniel, in Revelation, and in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, which relates to the advent of Antichrist. For instance, in Daniel 9:27 we read, "And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease." Well, the week referred to here is a period of 7 years, which according to the context is the length of time of this covenant which Antichrist will make with the Jews. Writing in the Gospel Herald, G.P. Rowd comments on this, saying, "Antichrist drew up this covenant with the Jews, doubtless in order that they would accept him as their Messiah. He covenanted that he would allow them to keep their sacrifices and the rest of their services in the temple which they built in Jerusalem." Well, then in the midst of this 7-year period, the Antichrist will break his covenant and reveal himself to be the arch enemy of Israel. And so here's what we might be led to expect. Ultimately, there will come a covenant with Israel permitting a return to her offering of blood sacrifices, such as were offered during the time of Moses. This, of course, will necessitate the rebuilding of the temple. Then Antichrist, who negotiated this covenant with Israel, will move himself to Jerusalem, will locate in the temple, and will cause the blood sacrifices to cease. As the Apostle Paul declares, "As God, he will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Well, then what will happen? Here I'd like to quote from one of the early church fathers, Irenaeus, a disciple of Polycarp who lived in the days of the apostles. For from the writings of Irenaeus we read, when this Antichrist shall reign for 3 years and 6 months, and will sit in the temple Jerusalem, then shall the Lord come from heaven in the clouds of glory from the Father, sending this man and those who follow him into the lake of fire, but will bring for the righteous a time of the kingdom. Well, we believe the stage is being set. Israel will seek to maintain control of old Jerusalem while the nations will continue to debate and dispute and likewise seek to decide its fate. It will take the political maneuverings of a mastermind possessing almost superhuman wisdom to arrange for this covenant for a period of 7 years, a covenant which will then be broken after 3.5 years. This, we believe, could come at any time. But before it happens, we can expect that Christ will come for his own, so that on earth there will come this rule of the Antichrist during a period we call the Great Tribulation. Then following this tribulation, our Lord is again seen coming to this earth to establish his kingdom. This tribulation will not only be a time of unparalleled lawlessness, violence, and wickedness such as we are seeing today, but also a time of Israel's greatest trial. That's why Jesus commanded us, saying, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." That's why on this broadcast we sound forth the challenge to men everywhere to turn to Christ, to live for him daily, so as to be found ready should he come yet today. For remember, he hath said, "Be ye therefore ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Will you be ready to go when the morning sun comes riding down, his eyes are blazed with many crowns? Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.